Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. In his message titled, All Fall Down, Reverend David Williams tells us that we surround ourselves with earthly things that we believe to be important, but things will not last forever. We have to remember that what is important to God is that we take those things and serve God by spreading His love to others. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We are gathering here in a particular place. Place that for some of us is full of memory and for some of us is newer. And the reality of our lives is that they are full of places, full of things, full of land and objects that come to define our understanding of who we are and where we are. We have our homes, we have our places of work, we have places where we gather with friends. And those things can be wonderful and life-giving. But place also has within it a danger, because places change, and the people within them change. And that can be hard for us to let go of, and harder still as we become territorial creatures for us to allow others into. Space can be a blessing, but it can also be a danger to our souls. And right now, let's admit how that affects us. Let's admit it through the prayer of confession, which is printed in our bulletin. Please join with me in the praying of it. Gracious and almighty God, we surround ourselves with possessions and objects, the stuff and materiel of our lives. Our cars, our homes, the edifices, our community and our nation, even this space we're sitting in right now. They give us a concrete sense of space as if they are just as permanent as the stars. But against the span of your creation, they are nothing. And if we make them more significant to us than the things that matter to you, our love of one another, our commitment to caring for others, then we have not understood their place in our lives. Remind us and guide us to right understanding, Lord. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn?
Only Christ, who lived for us,
died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from Mark's gospel. I'll be reading from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. That's Mark 13, verses 1 through 8. You can follow along on page 50 in your pew New Testament. Let's listen again for God's holy word. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these large buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all of these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is just the beginning of the birth pangs. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. About a month or so ago, I had an odd moment, one of those surreal instances that pops its way into your life when you're not expecting it. And it was one of those moments that happens when you have lived in a place for a very long time. Back when I was a teenager, I lived very close to where I live now, over there in Virginia. And I spent a lot of time in malls, because that's what suburbanite teens have been genetically programmed to do. And so I spent a lot of time in and around Tyson's Corner. I would go to the mall with friends, and we would drift around in clusters looking at the other teenagers who'd gone to the mall and friends and were drifting around in clusters, and we would talk about one another and separate and congregate and wander around, and that's just what we did. And back then, in the fires of adolescence, I had a memory set into my brain. It was the memory of the backside of Tyson's Corner Mall, because it looked a certain way and was a certain way. You would go through a pair of doors, and there was a parking lot. Very exciting. And on the far side of that parking lot, there was an electronics store where I would go on occasion to buy things to plug into my state-of-the-art late 1980s stereo system with giant speakers, and it was one of those rack systems back when people would just sit and listen to music, you know, and it's just what you would do. And at that very place, I purchased a double tape deck so that I could listen to tapes and record from one to another, which is back then how the kids stole music. They do it differently now, but I had been through the doors at the back of that mall dozens and dozens of times. That's where the theater was back then. That's where other stores were. And every time you'd walk through, you would see the same thing. There's the parking lot. There's the building. That was what was there. But that was 20 years ago, and I hadn't passed through that side of the mall in 20 years because now malls make me break out in hives. I don't like them. You know, I guess it's just a thing I did in adolescence. And now I can't. I hate being in there. It's like, and I knew conceptually, rationally, that things had changed there. I had watched the construction as you're going down the Beltway, watching buildings rise up right where that place used to be. And I knew things were expanded. Cognitively, rationally, I was aware of it. But I had never been out that side of the mall, never walked through that same set of doors. I hadn't done that in 20 years. There'd not been a cause to. And so in my mind, there was this memory locked down. If you move through this space, that is what's on the other side. It's even though I hadn't been there, you just know it's there. It's object permanence. That's what it's called, if I'm remembering correctly from my psych classes. It's one of the things that human beings learn as they transition out of extremely tiny babydom to slightly larger babydom, is that things don't disappear when you can't see them. They remain. They have permanence, even when they step outside of your perception. And this is what takes all the fun out of peekaboo. You know, that just ruins that game. It's like when you make that transition, that game is gone. But as pioneering 20th century psychologist Jean Piaget described, being able to do this, to maintain object permanence, is one of the great transition points of human cognitive development. It allows us to understand that there are realities beyond the right here. It's one of the things that makes us sentient. And I think that had something to do with why passing through those mall doors last month on my way to one of my son's endless drumming music rock and roll events messed with my head, because they were playing there. And I had to go through those doors. But when I passed through those doors, everything was wrong. Because I'd been through them 20 times, 30 times, I knew what it looked like. Even though I knew it had changed, I walked through those doors, and it was like I was stepping through a looking glass. Because instead of stepping out and there's the parking lot, I step into this concrete plaza, and in front of me are two towering mid-rise skyscrapers that blot out the sky. I felt like, you know, that scene in 2001 where the apes wake up and this thing's like, you know, they're going like that. It's like, oh, this monolith. Only it was two of them. And I'm like, and I know they're there. I've passed them on the Beltway 100 times, but seeing them there, it's like, how did that, that's not, so, this whole thing is wrong. I know what's supposed to be here. The towers are not there. They're the wrong thing. It can't be there. It was like you played a game of peekaboo and it's 20 years and then the hands are gone and it's not daddy at all. It's like, ah, it's freaking me out. We get that way about the structures and objects in the world around us. We assume for some inexplicable reason that these places we inhabit, these things that we build, will always stick around, and that they're what matters. And that confuses us, distracts us, and makes us sometimes do things in ways that guide our faith in strange directions. Like the mistake that the always confused disciples make in the story from Mark this morning as they're walking with Jesus in and around Jerusalem. And they look up at this astounding structure by them and they're like, Jesus, look at this. This is amazing. Look at this. It's big and it's huge and it's, oh, wow. Isn't that awesome? And it was awesome. I mean, this thing that we're encountering this morning in Scripture was the temple of Herod the Great, which was the most overblown and intentionally ostentatious structure in almost the entire ancient world. Because Herod the Great had issues with the way people thought about him. He came from a family where it was mostly really unpleasant and unnatural relations between cousins and daughters, and nasty, nasty thing. And he knew people thought that, and he had something to prove. And so he built legendarily overblown structures so that people would know how impressive he was. Structures that were not small, that were not pedestrian, that were bold and aggressive. And there'd been a temple there, but it wasn't enough. So he made it even bigger, supersized, double extra shiny. He knocked down the opening entrance. That's just not adequate. Put up this giant arch modeled after all of the great Roman monuments just to impress his Roman friends. And then he decided, well, you know, it's the temple's on a mountain. We can do better than that. We're going to turn that mountain into this perfectly square platform. And so he created the Temple Mount, a flat surface where everyone could walk around this plaza that spanned over 36 acres. He raised a mountaintop and flattened everything out. It's still sitting there today. And for that, he needed, you know, lots of subcontractors, 100,000, you know, 10,000 workers, and he creates this incredible structure. So you're approaching, wow, it's an impressive structure. And on top of that impressive structure, he built a new temple, which was bigger, modeled on the old one, but supersized. And then because that wasn't enough, he wrapped that temple in gold. Oh, it was the most strikingly garish thing that you could encounter anywhere in the ancient world, a vast edifice to his dynasty. It was way, way over the top. It was Trumpian, even. And it was just this really intense structure. And the disciples looking at this are as overawed as like a five-year-old wandering through Times Square looking at all the lights. Wow, this is so huge. And so they remark on that to Jesus. This is so impressive. And Jesus, looking at this edifice, is a little less impressed. It's gold and rocks and the whole self-assured bluster of it. And Jesus says, none of this matters. None of it's going to still be standing. It's all going to fall down, he says to his disciples. Which we remember because, you know, he was right. The temple itself that Herod built, for all of its golden shine and supersized construction, got a little help in the falling down part by the Roman Empire, which got tired of being attacked there and raised it down to the ground, leaving the Temple Mount, of course, which now sits in Jerusalem as one of those sacred, holy places blessed of God that people fight about constantly. But Jesus was right about that fall on another level. Because all of the things we build for ourselves here, wonderful as they are, useful as they can be, none of them ultimately withstand the passing of time. Nothing. I mean, those things we think are cast in stone, permanent, unchanging, and everlasting, they don't stick around. They're replaced, or they crumble, or they fade, and other things rise to replace them. And that we have some trouble grasping, because we transitioned in babyhood from thinking daddy disappears every couple seconds to realizing, you know, things do stick around, and they just stay there, and they're permanent. And yet they're not. And that's hard for us to get because we want them to be. We look at the spread of our culture around us. We imagine that all of these things will always be here. We look to the great edifices of our republic, to the infrastructure around us, and it seems that it must be permanent. It must endure. We look at the shining malls and the sprawl and the sparkle, and you know, that's just going to be around, right? How can anything that seems to us so part of who we are not stick around? But things do change and grow. And that change can leave us feeling wildly disoriented at times, like that moment you walk out of a door and find that the solid content of our memory isn't the reality we're encountering anymore. And as we struggle for our ground in that, to find our feet in that change, there are different ways we can deal with it. We can fight it. We can assume that it is inherently bad and inherently wrong. We can cling to territory. We can cling to turf. We can cling to space and not allow it to change. But that's how human beings have always lived. That is the story of human history. It is the reason we fight. It is the reason we tear at one another. It's the reason that we bomb and shoot. The reason for terror. The reason for war. Jesus says, this stuff all falls down. And from that, there's something rather different. Because Jesus says, don't be taken in by your desire to grasp this object that will never change and to hold it and to never let it grow and to never allow anything else to happen with it. Because that's not how God works. Not a God who stirs us always to grow and change and to be transformed, and to turn away from brokenness and towards grace. What matters to God are not those things we imagine are solid, but something rather different. Instead, to those parts of ourselves that rest in God's memory, the way we relate to those around us, the way that we show grace and care and service and kindness to those around us. That is what God remembers and holds on to. And that's a lot less impressive to us than the edifices around us, the shine of the world and the things that we imagine we own and the territory we imagine belongs to us. All of that changes. And that is unsettling. And it makes it difficult if we embrace what Jesus is teaching here to know what to do with the space we have. Because God cares about those objects, sort of. God cares about how we use this space, this common house that we've built together, that we sustain together. But God cares about the purpose of these spaces in the same way that God cares about the purpose of our lives. This space, this place we inhabit, exists for the same reason that we do, as a vessel for caring for others, as something that expresses God's love in the world, as something that welcomes others in. And as much as we love this place, and as much as it's been around for a while, 10,000, 100,000 years from now, I'm gonna wager it's not gonna be here. That's just a wild guess. You know, you can collect on that bet in 100,000 years. We'll see how that goes. Because why this place is here now is the same reason that we are here now, in our fleeting, mortal bodies, given this time as a way of showing God's love in a world that needs it. And as much as we want it to be permanent, it's not. It changes, it shifts, it grows, it fluctuates, it fades, and it rises again. And that is unsettling for we creatures of object permanence who don't want everything to fall apart and fall away. But what's important now, as we seek to care for this space and to care for our lives within it, is to turn away from holding it tight and instead use it as it was meant to be used, as a gift in this moment for any and all who encounter it. So as much as we want to hold on to stuff, to the large stones that impress us in our lives, remember, things do change. And if we follow God, they change for the better. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Jesus looked at the great golden blocks of Herod's temple, and he looked at them, and he knew that within a generation they would collapse and fall and be nothing. And he probably wasn't too upset about that either. I don't harbor the same feelings about these walls. I don't. I'm attached to them a little bit, more than a little bit. But I also know that this place won't be here forever. That's not the goal. The goal for this place and for Spirit Hall, and yes, even for the manse, is that all of these spaces where we find ourselves might best serve God and Christ's love while they are here. In that, their purpose, our purpose for them, is no different than our purpose for our own lives. How can we make them the most welcoming? How can we make them as warm and loving a presence in this community for as long as they're here. It's a position that builds up but that doesn't grasp, and it's tough because we like holding on to stuff, especially things we're really genuinely attached to. So as we think about this place, as we think about our lives here, as we think about the community that dwells and changes and grows and moves here, keep that in mind. All things do come apart, but so long as they're here, so long as we're here, let's use all that we have to spread God's love in the world. That's why we're here. Let's keep doing that. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen. Thank you.